One village or community called problem. So I don't know whether the bill I'm going to say is half or is a maiden one. That is why I'm saying, I don't know whether you're my sister or my sister-in-law, but I think you'll give the rest of the information to the chairman, so I will not look bad after this. Thanks.
My name is Winston Rabotapi. I'm a member of the committee.
My name is Karen Krutum. I'm a member of this committee.
Mama Chairman of Member. Belong to this committee.
Thank you very much. And now I'm going to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself. As I said earlier, take a trip to. You're not here, you are just here for an interview and become. You even need a new water for you to have a seat where you feel that you are feeling better.
Thank you very much. I don't think we have the same name. I am Tempani Gertrude Ngomane Bilanko. Yes. Bilanko is not my friend. I think she's my sister-in-law. But I don't know. Suspecting the name. I'm an educator. Teaching grade 12 at a high school. And I'm a master's degree holder. In my master's degree, I was researching on school language policy, formulation and implementing. It was after realizing that the school governing bodies around Tembisa, because I'm from Kenton Park and I was in Tembisa, were not able to formulate their own language policies. We found that when I checked them, just one policy, just the same thing, different types of the schools. I'm an assessor, trained assessor. I help educators to informal and formal assessment when they teach anything. I'm also a teacher, a trainer. I train educators on TEPS, outcome-based education, and the NCS. I help educate kids on that. I don't know what that means, but if there are translation documents and the like, they come and try and translate. For them. I also help students online. In the community, I work at a church where I always work with the youth. I move around asking for donations to help them because in my area there are many youth there without parents. So I'm one of those people who are always helping the youth with their education and their destinations and their life. When it comes to traditional dance, I love it. I enjoy it. To an extent that I also had a group that my work built, where I trained the stronger boys and girls how to dance shibuya. And that's me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm now going to give an opportunity to the panelists to ask
questions.
Questions. I never do my homework. Okay, I'm not coming. Aye. You never found a
rich man. Hey, I'm not going to watch him. I'm not going to look at Look, I want to know the other skills apart from what you have explain to us. What are the other skills that you can offer in the collective of central boards that you are going to be appointed into that will help the boards in terms of their political duties. What other things here?
Presently, I'm a manager of the high school. I believe that if I become part of the board, since we know that children are covered under the South African Language Board Act, we need to make sure that we have the basic functionality of the board itself. So I'll be able to work with you and check if all the problems in relation to the language are in order. Then we'll work together and make sure that the basic function of the board is in order. Starting from the executives, the managers, and the implementers of language. So I'll be working with you to make sure that everything is in place from the beginning. As a governor, I'll make sure that in different departments or different units in the board itself, we have enough resources to support the people working in different units to have the necessary resources to make sure that when we talk about things like we're talking about a living board, because many people are asking themselves outside to say, but there is Pentel, and nobody that Pentel is doing, some are not even aware of your responsibilities. I'll make sure that the social domain out there is aware of the responsibility of Pentel. Remember that the main mandate of Pentel is to develop official languages, including the Fen, the Khoi, and the Fen language. Because I'm a language specialist, I'll be helping you on how to develop the study guides and the programs that we're going to take into different units, might be at the national unit, provincial unit, in different departments and schools, so that they understand our responsibility. And we need to make sure that all responsibilities are helpful to them. There was another guide that I used when I was doing my honors degree. I got it from one of the old Pentel members. Then when I looked at it, I realized that it was very much useful. It needed to be used by educators and teachers in class. But when I talked to them as a chief mother, because I was the chief mother for grade 12 and chief examiner for grade 12, only realized that they don't understand, they don't know the guide, and I did not know how can I take it from you and give it to them, because I got it from the Musa. I was a student of the institution back then. So I make sure that people in different institutions get our documents and use them effectively. If they don't understand some sections, they are free to come and ask us. Remember also that we are responsible for promoting and respecting of all languages. There are languages which are not respected at the moment. If you can go to Kenya, we have many people talking about you who are afraid of taking their own language, but communities will, but communities will, because they want to be accepted in the community. If I become one of you, I'll be able to talk to the community people about that, from churches, going to schools, go to traditional meetings and make sure that they are aware of this board. This is why I know that the board is asking them to help them with the implementation. How can you expect a machine to speak in Kikuzu or to speak in... Sometimes we find that it's only bled, but we are about to speak in English. Yes, we can use it formally, but in most cases, we need to speak in our language. So I'm going to help you a lot.
In your response to what Honorable Makondo has been asking you, I've just noted one element that is of interest where you are staying, it doesn't say that it's very important, but it's also very key. The issue of the respect of language. You are saying most people are afraid to be identified to certain, to their own languages. In other words, there is an identity crisis in terms of languages in this country, and really that's true. One has noticed that it depends which area are you in. If you are where there are a lot of couples and then you are also today, you sometimes feel a little bit not comfortable to really say who you are. And you also alluded to the fact that once the mandate of cancel the promotion that you talked about ends, it's not limited to that. The mandate of cancel is talking about four key areas that the board should perform. Now I want you expect the one that you've already mentioned, which is promotion. What are the other, what is your understanding with regards to other mandates of the board that are stated in the Act of 1995 and also in relation to the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa?
When I talk about respecting all languages, I don't think that will be easy for us if we expect to see it happening without a proper syntax and proper corporal planning from the national level. If you want it to happen, we need to make sure that our state language training from the national department has indicated that rather looking at the 11 official languages, sign language and understanding the concept should be part of the official language. Then we make sure that all the documents that we are going to give to the social domain, all the policies, all the things, include all the languages. Then by doing that, we know that when we take the documents from the upper level to the provincial level, we make sure that even the provincial language unit is able to adopt the top policies. For that to be implemented effectively, we need to appoint evaluators and assessors to check if the national department is doing its best and the acts and the policies from the national unit have given the correct, authentic language document to the provincial level. So that at the provincial level will be able to cascade it into different. We know that in different departments there are different people in different languages. Then if we have people to assess, to evaluate that and write reports and submit to us, we'll be able to see that things are not going well there and there. Then we fix that. Then coming back to the community, we need to advise our people when they have traditional gatherings, organizational gatherings, initiation. They need to speak our language. So by doing that, we see that we are implementing the top language policy from the national down to the corners. But if you don't do that, we do not talk about respecting language. We respect them from top down. Thank
you. If you get an opportunity to be appointed as one of the board members of CENSA, how will you ensure that there's always ethical leadership and integrity on the board?
CENSA is like a home. It's like a workplace. Things cannot go the way we expect them always. Sometimes you find that ethical issues come and disturb the board itself. As a manager, I will make sure that we have a policy, the code of conduct policy for each and every unit. If people work under a certain unit, there should be a policy to govern to those diseases, because if we don't do that, we find that we have many personal problems with the diseases. It's better if we have work-related problems then. It means that if maybe I am guilty because I did not submit a report to you, it means that I don't know my job description. So we need to have a policy that will talk to the job description of each and every member in different units, and a code of conduct for all board members, so that if someone goes wrong, we'll be able to check on the policy to say, this is the penalty that I'm going to get. So as long as we don't have the code of conduct, we're going nowhere. But we do as we wish. And as a workplace, we cannot do as we wish. You don't manage yourself based on yourself. You need to respect everybody, you need to respect your supervisor, you need to respect other people. But we can only do that through the police.
You want to follow up?
Okay. I do understand you talk about code of conduct, but mine is on ethical leadership. We are coming to a highly board of the government, and there are laws, there are principles that govern that board, and which is the leadership part of it. But its leadership is different, it's ethical.
A leader needs to be always lead by example to make sure that the integrity of the board stays the way I found it. Imagine if I become a member of the board, one day you see me coming to the meeting with my boyfriend, coming to the meeting with my boyfriend, and that's not ethical, that's not leadership. What if learners or people outside see me doing things the wrong way? I'll make sure that I conduct myself permanently and effectively to an extent that I represent the board effectively.
Thank you very much. Another group we have to do.
Thank you, President. Africa-Dzonga hi na khumen'we wa tindzimi leti tekiwaka ri kona hi fanele ku ti tirhisa, kambe loko mi ti langutisa a ti nyikiwi ntikelo wo ringana kumbe wo fana. Loko swo endleka ku mi appointiwa ku va wun'wana wa support members, how will we ensure that there is no language that has hegemony over the others?
When we talk about language hegemony, we talk about language deprivation. Since we say all the languages are equal and some are more equal than others, it's like animal sounds. Some learners, some animals are more equal than others. Then I think it would be the responsibility of the board, including myself, to develop the math. Starting from the curriculum at the primary level, putting the information for curriculum at high schools and at universities. And I'll also make sure that as a board we include stakeholders like parents so that they'll be able to help us to talk to their kids, to use their languages always when they speak. I went to Maputo in July this year. I was doing a research on my master's degree before I completed. I was really excited to see black learners speaking in
Portuguese. At home, the parents, if a learner or a child speak in another language, then the parents get arrested immediately. When I try to check their language in schools, I find that they use Portuguese. They are trying to put English here and there. It's only at Gaza and Shanshan where they are using three languages, but their home language is not used as a language of teaching and learning. It's used as a subject. So that's why I'm saying parents and different stakeholders need to come in and make sure that we give value to these languages because they are important to us. We cannot use English as well. We do use English of course, but stakeholders need to help us, which is different departments like education and parents and traditional dialogues. We need to make sure that we give level. Talking to the authors, I'm one of the authors. I wrote Shibuku, a book which says Ships on the Ships. In the book, I'm trying to show people that I can speak English well, but I remain Musonga and my language is very much important. And I cannot die with my language, my original language. I need to take it to other people. Talking to initiation schools, they need to use it. We'll be developing language by doing that. And there should be people to assess if we're doing the best or not and give us the right direction. We cannot leave the languages down there and promote English and Afrikaans anymore. We need to also promote our languages. And I'm already doing the books I'm an author. I'm writing books in Xitsonga so that Xitsonga people will be able to read and understand the language.
Thank you very much.
Abshi.
Bye.
Mija.
Kona Mutong.
What values are you going to bring to the pencil board? And how will these values affect the board?
The values that I will bring will not differ from the values that I give to the people who are working with me in my office. The first value is the understanding of the organism of the board. If we have an organism knowing the CEO of the board, knowing the supervisors who will be reporting to the CEO and the other managers, it will be easy for us to keep the values of the board. Because by knowing that I cannot go to the CEO without going to my top manager or to my senior manager, they will strengthen the value of the board. For example, if there is a problem, I cannot come to the CEO without talking to my supervisors. So the channel of communication with the board will help us a lot, especially if we understand our job descriptions and following the management plan for the community. Then by doing that, we'll be keeping the values of the community. At the moment, I'm trying to get into internet and checking out and start with who's working. I want to find that there are loopholes here and there. When I check the languages, some of the languages are 100%, like English. It's 100%, but coming to Xhosa and my language, nothing's available at the moment. So if I come out as the value of the board, by making sure that you have all the information for all languages in the internet, because our kids are always playing with the internet. So they need to get the information. If they want something in English to stress, they need to get it. If someone need to get it. So by doing that, I will be giving more value to them.
Good afternoon, I think again. What is your understanding of the use of indigenous languages in line with the Constitution, Section 6, Subsection 2, in government departments and universities? And what do you think is the role of FUNFOP to ensure that indigenous languages are also used?
when we look at section 6, subsection 2, says learners in schools and people are allowed to use their languages. So, but when we look at what is happening at the moment, I think your part is not being itself. There are still universities which offer English, and one of your students can even a master's degree in English. I don't think that there is something wrong for me to give it in African English, but I was not given the time to do that. Because I just have a feeling to say my language was undermined. When I go to the primary, I need to have a right to use my language. When I go to the high school, I have a right to use my language. University level, I need to use my language. For cancer, I need to make sure that my language gets developed effectively to be able to be used in different levels of education up to the university level. So we have a lot of work to do. If I'm becoming powerful, we have a lot of work to do to develop these languages to make sure that they are acceptable and are implemented effectively in different levels of education.
Yeah, because earlier here we were one of the interviews, we were asking why didn't you write your thesis in Unit 1? And she said, my ancestor can't speak one. So how could I write this in Unit 1? Okay, my ancestor, which means that, as you are saying, there needs to be a lot of development that is happening to support people to get to a level where can they be ancestors of those people who have their sisters in Xhosa, in Swahili, in indigenous languages, as you are writing saying that. There's a lot of development that needs to be done.
I have a question to know why can't I do my master's degree in Xhosa? And my supervisor's going to Xhosa. That's not allowed at UNISA. Then I had to do it. And I said there is a lot of terminology that they cannot translate into English. It's not going to make sense that they have the terms in English. When we talk about the rationale of the study, they ask me, what are you going to call the rationale of the study? The objective of the study. What are you going to say? The knowledge of the study.
This is why it is important for us. The part of development of the language is very important with cancer. Because if that part of development is not taken care of, then we end up with this attitude that what are we going to call the rationality So I think the part of development is very important. Honorable Mother.
Thank you, Chairperson. How would you mitigate a conflict between the board and council? How would you mitigate a conflict between the board and council?
And management. As I said before, that there is no room for conflict. As long as the management understands the responsibilities of the managers and the board itself understands their responsibilities, there will be no problem. A problem will only arise if managers don't understand what they're supposed to do and the other does not know. Because managers are managers and they are not clients. So if we have, for example, we have managers who are responsible for language development, then the governors need to understand that they are there to support the managers to implement their function. But if the governors are going to look at what the management is doing without supporting them, then we are going nowhere. For example, if we need to develop a dictionary, as the board wants to develop a dictionary, we cannot develop a dictionary without financial resources, human resources, dictionaries, translators and interpreters. So the gardeners are there to help the management to be able to do what they're supposed to do. For example, the responsibility. If there's a mutual relationship between the two, we'll always go ahead. But if there's no mutual relationship, for example, if you're getting about I need to work from here up to here, then there's a boundary I'm not supposed to ask. Things which does not require an adjunctive question, then they will always come to me.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mahon.
Thank you. I want to pursue that question. Of a conflict between the board and the executive, which is management. But I'm coming with this angle. The relationship between the executive and the board, at most, will be confrontational. Because the board cannot oversight on the executive. And the executive are supposed to implement the strategic objectives of the board and they account to the board. And they will always come. At times, the board, when it's doing its oversight responsibility, management will cry foul and take this interference. But the board, they will say we are not interfering, we are doing our work. And the management will have a problem with the board in relation to the interference, which the management will be alleging that the board is interfering. And the board will be saying, we are not interfering, we are doing our oversight. Over you, as the management.
Job description.
So, I want to know, where does the two meet?
Okay.
What is interference? According to your understanding, and what is oversight? Because when there's clarity on these two issues, there will be no conflict. But when there's no clarity, there will always be a conflict. That's why I'm saying the relationship at times confrontational and conflict.
But to add to this question, over and above the framework that is there, your legal framework, your job description, your policies, there is what is called human factors. Where people, knowing all these things, they go out of their way to do the wrong thing. And we are saying this from experience, as if I'm a disability person. We are saying this thing from experience that there is a legal framework, there is a constitution, there is an act, there are policies, there are regulations, but there is what is called human factor, and it's a reality. People don't go out of their way to do something that is totally wrong. And sometimes they get away with murder. In the full view of the board, sometimes. So this is why the members are raising this question. How would you, in that case, when you know that the law is saying this, there is a job description, there is a policy, there are all these things, but these people have gone out of their way to commit transgression.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. just relax, just do the business issues. I'm going to give you an example. You are the chair of the board of Pemba. Then the executive, let's say the chief executive, awards a tender to a company that, in terms of the law, doesn't qualify. Then the AG, or even the AG does not even come, then there's a complaint from within the institution. There's a complaint that there's another company that has been awarded a work, and that company, in terms of the law, doesn't qualify. And as a board, because we are an accounting authority, anything that goes wrong in the entity, you are accountable. You are accountable. Then when you intervene, the chief executive says you are interfering. Where do you deal with that?
As I thought about the job description and the code of conduct, the two units, each one of them usually has a management plan for the women, and the other one is like a management plan for the women. And the two need to have a disciplinary committee. Even if we have disagreement, I'm not going to ask somebody or the person who said that we should deal with the issue on the one. A committee, the disciplinary committee, will be an artist thereof to indicate that. It is indicated in our code of conduct to say, if I steal something, then this is a matter. Because no one is about the law. But if we work as two groups or two bodies, then there is no code of conduct and there is no disciplinary committee. People will do the same wish. But if there is a disciplinary committee which does not favor anyone, it's just the policy. They are going to implement the policy. And if they are found out that they are not implementing the policy because they are favoring somebody there, there is going to be a problem. But we need to make sure we have policies which are implemented. And it cannot be everybody, but the disciplinary committee together with the penalties. Penalties need to be applied. For example, if it's financial management, then we need to let the finance committee. The finance committee needs to make sure that they do their best. If somebody mismanages the finances, then the committee is supposed to deal with the person and make sure that the penalty is applied. Because no one is above the law.
Thank you very much. Hello, Adoko. We have about 5 minutes.
Hey, Chair, I want to go back to Honorable Matondo's question. I was Honorable Matondo asking if you like to listen to me in the chat. Then they will set up, which is the principal of the electricity of the school, that is the same as the UK. So if the school needs changes to the other
The disciplinary policy needs to be in place. The disciplinary policy needs to be in place, and that is developed by the governors of the school. So if we have governors here, who are responsible for developing that code of conduct policy and the disciplinary committee, then whatever comes in, then they will deal with it. I know that the CEO obviously is part of the committee, but there needs to be a policy for government and the committee to deal with it. And they follow the policy.
Have you ever said
anything? Yes. I'm a member of the FCP in the school, and there's the policy that we use, the teacher's policy and the code of conduct for the governor, and the code of conduct for Lena. But we have a disciplinary committee to be implementing this policy. If a learner is found that or he or she has done something wrong, rather than taking the matter into myself. This is a committee to deal with the dilemma. If it's a governor, the code of conduct for the governor is going to be implemented by the disciplinary committee. If it's an educator, we use the policies for educators, the service, to govern that, and the disciplinary committee, the very same disciplinary committee, needs to read the policy and implement the penalties to the educator. It's not the same because now we're talking about the winner, we're talking about the governor, we're talking about the educator. So there should be a policy and one disciplinary committee to deal with the issue.
Thank you very much. There being no more questions, we would like to thank you very much for availing yourself, for accepting, as I said earlier, the nomination, for availing yourself for interviews. I know being interviewed is not a nice thing. So you, we really appreciate the fact that you have put yourself in that position just for you to be able to serve the nation. We really appreciate it. We are not the ones that are appointing, but we are, after the interview, we will submit to the department our recommendations, and it's the minister that actually appoints the members of the board. And they will be in touch with you. See, now when we're done with our job, we say this is what we went through, this is our journey, these are our recommendations, and we relate it to them to meet the board. But as I said earlier, we really appreciate your presence here and your ability to serve the nation.
Right.
Thank you.